pleased to introduce the last speaker of this morning session. Please. So, the last speaker of this morning session is Pablo Ferrari from Buenos Aires, yeah. São Paulo. And his talk deals with harmonic functions on the Delaunay triangulation of a Poisson process.
Okay. So this is a mini course, so I will go pretty slow today, but just to get you motivated. The idea of the course is how to go from this graph. This graph is the Delaunay triangulation that was already explained today of a Poisson process. So, oops. Here is the Poisson process, and here the graph. And let's see if I can. Okay. So these are the points of the Poisson process. Here are the cell, the Voronoi cell of this Poisson process, and these points that are connected to are the points that share a boundary of dimension one with this point, for instance. Okay, all these points. Okay, so this is a random graph with vertices. You can construct it deterministically from the Poisson process. And it's constructed all in R2. And then we want to go from there to this one. So this one, it has the same structure, graph structure, so the points have the same neighbors, but the points have been moved, keeping the neighborhood. So they have an elastic vertex in such a way that the movement will not change the the neighborhood structure. So as you can see, this graph is much more harmonic than the other one that looks like there are more concentration of points in different different places. And so the difference between this, that the regular Voronoi tessellation, and this one is that in this graph, each vertex is located at the average location of the neighboring vertices. Okay? In this sense, we can call this a harmonic deformation of the Delaunay triangulation. So the problem here is how you can construct the graph, construct the harmonic deformation of the Delaunay triangulation in the whole space. Okay, so this is what I am going to do in this course, but I will start very slow with. Oops. What happens? I pass it. Ah. I don't understand it. This is going. Okay. Stop. Because it goes. Okay. Now you know that there are 57 transparencies, but don't worry about that. Okay, I start defining very slow with a graph. So I take a set of points in D, in RD, and then some edges. Okay, so. Not necessarily a planar graph, but it's more comfortable to define it. Not necessarily triangulation. And then we will say that that the neighbors are the. So a graph is just a set of vertices and edges. The edges are pairs of vertices. And I say that two vertices are neighbors if the pair belongs to the edge, to the edge set. And the vertices are located in RD in some places. Okay, now I will take a graph like this and then do a random random walk. So the random walk is doing the following way. If you are at the vertices x here, you choose at random one of the neighbors and jump there. So if I call c xy is the indicator function that x and y are neighbors, and c of x is the number of neighbors. So from here you jump here with probability 1/3, here with probability 1/3, and here with probability 1/3. Okay? But from here you jump with probability 1/5. Okay? So if you have 5 neighbors, you jump with probability 1/5. So okay, so if the graph is finite, then you can define this random walk has a reversible measure that is given for by c of x divided by z, and z is a normalization function, and so mu of x here is proportional to 3, okay? That is the number of edges that are getting out. It's what is said that up there, okay? Okay, so it's reversibility. You just check the detailed balance equations, and then they imply also the the invariance of this measure. Okay, so the invariant measure or the reversible measure is something that gives weight the number of exiting edges to each point. Okay, so if c of x is less than infinity, then this is a probability measure. If not, it's just a sigma finite measure, but it is invariant. It satisfies always this reversibility thing. For instance, if you have your graph is just ZD, your invariant measure will be constant because all the edges, all the vertices have the same number of. Okay, now I take this graph and consider some neighbors. Okay, I call B this part, and then some other neighbors that are called delta B, that would be the boundary of B, and then I will give a function, will give a price g of y for y in delta B will be the boundary condition. Okay, and then you start your walk at some point x, and you just walk along the graph according to this probability distribution, and then at some point you will arrive to some y in delta b, and then you get as a price you get this value g of phi. Okay, so this is the game, and then if I call p of xy is the probability to starting here touch for the first time the boundary at y, then your function satisfies, your function is the average price that you will get is given by that, okay? So it's the probability to arrive to each of the points in the boundary times the, times g here, in fact. Yeah, g, here is g, okay? Okay, and if you condition to the first jump of the walk, then you get that that f of x is equal to the average of the f of z for z neighbor of x. Okay, so if you condition to the first jump, so the price, the expected price that you will get in this point will be the average of the expected prices you will get in the neighbors of these points. Okay, so you have that property. Okay, in other words, you can write it with the Laplacian that is will be 1 over c of x So this equation is equivalent to the previous one. So this price function will satisfy that equation, that the Laplacian is equal to zero. Okay. So we have our graph is partitioned in two parts, the bulk part and the boundary the boundary where you will fix the notation. So what we are asking is that in the bulk price you satisfy this equation. In the boundary, you get the fixed price B. For instance, if you have a nearest neighbor random walk in a finite interval, so the neighbors are of x are x plus 1 and x minus 1, then and you fix a price in the two extremes of the interval in A and B, so then you f of x will have an explicit expression that is linear in J of C. So if your graph B is an interval AB, okay, and then in B you get G of B, this is the price here, in A you get G of A, then the price you get at X is the interpolation of G of A and G of B in the, and then it's clear that this is harmonic because the price here is the average of the two prices here. Okay, and this is also the same as the probability. So this is related to the probability of getting here before here. Of getting here before here is linear, and is given by this height. But rescaled to 0 and 1. No. Okay. Okay, so I will call a function a harmonic if the Laplacian of f is equal to 0 inside B and has the values fixed at delta B. Now, there is a lemma that says that harmonic function attains the maximum at the boundaries. And So if you cannot do something like that, because in some sense this point is an average of the points in the boundary. So each point in the middle is an average of the points in the boundary. So it necessarily must be bigger than the max, than the minimum, and smaller than the maximum. Okay. And and then the other lemma is that if V is finite, then there is only harmonic function for any partition B and any condition, external condition. Okay, now we're interested in the in taking the random walk. First, we define for the filtration Fn, we define a martingale that satisfies this equation. So the expected value of the future given the past is the position where we are in the present. And then we consider a translation operator. So in fact, we take the Xn, a random walk in the graph here. And the sigma algebra will be what you see from the what is the graph you see from the position of the random walk. Okay, so the sigma algebra generated by that, and it's here. Okay, and then if you stop the walk at the boundary, then and you take a harmonic function. So you take a harmonic function H, and you take H of the random walk stopped at the boundary. Then it will be a martingale. So inside it's a martingale because you jump. Your position, your current position, is the average of the positions of your neighbors. Okay, and in the boundary you are martingale because you are stopped there. Okay, so this is what this lemma says, and in fact, this is a consequence of what we how we defined that. So if we are given so the expected value of h at the position x is equal to the expected value of the martingale at time zero. Okay, so one important property of the harmonic functions is that they minimize this what is called electrostatic energy. So I am going fast here, but you should go to a book of Doyle and Snell, where all this stuff is explained very carefully, all the relation between random walks and these networks that can be called electric networks. They think that the networks have a resistance. In this case, the resistance of each edge will be 1, and the function outside will be the voltage, and the harmonic function will be the voltage that you get inside the graph when you fix the voltage in the boundary like here. Okay, but we are not going to use that much. But this special formula is important for our analysis. That says the following: if you take any function from V to R, and you compute the square of the difference of neighbors and sum over all neighbors and take 1/2, then this harmonic function will minimize this function. So the functions that minimize this functional must be harmonic. Okay, to explain that, let me introduce an operator that is the following. You at the position x, I take the function f, and then for sides that, so I will get a function and define another function that is mx of f, that will be the same out of x and the average of the neighbors in x. Okay. So this is what the operator mx does, and then. And then if you take a function that is equal to g in the boundary, so a function f equal to g in the boundary, then if you apply the operator y for any y inside the volume, not in the boundary, okay, then electrostatic energy for this new function is smaller than the previous one. So what I am saying is the following. Suppose that you have any function here. So suppose that you have any function here, and then at some point you decide here to take the average of your neighbor. So you go here. Okay. So this will be y, that is in B. This. Okay. And then what I am claiming is that the new function has less energy than the previous one. Okay. Okay. This, in fact, is something that you do in the elementary courses of probability. That the mean is what minimizes the square displacement. The average, so the x bar, no, in statistics also, x bar is the value that minimizes the difference between xi minus a to the square. Minimum argument. It's as simple as that. Okay. Minimum I, well, the minimum A here. Minimum. Okay. Okay, this is an important thing because one way that you can try to look for a harmonic function is just to update the places one by one, and then this is what says this lemma here. So this lemma says the following: suppose that you start with a function that is equal to g of x for a. For x in the boundary, it's x. And then yn is a sequence of vertices that contains infinitely many times each vertex. So I start with a function f like that, okay, that is equal to g in the boundaries. And then I take yn's here in such a way that I will visit infinitely often all sides. Each side will be visited infinitely often. So, and then I do the following. I go to y1 and update to the average of the neighbors, and then go to y2, update to the average of the neighbors, and go to infinity, like that. Okay, and then then the limit, what this lemma says, that the limit of fn is equal to h, that is the unique harmonic function b, in with boundary conditions G. Okay, so essentially what you do is the following. You start with an F that is equal to the max. Okay, because you know the harmonic function cannot be bigger than the max, so you start with this F, and then you evolve with according to this sequence of sides. Okay, and then it's you can show easily that this evolution is decreasing in time. So after some time, you will go to some function that will be below this f, okay? And also above the minimum, but then you do it the arguments separately. And also the energy, the electrostatic energy for this function fn, say, will be less than epsilon fn minus 1. So this is decreasing. And so it's going down, this. It's going down. And fn by itself is going down also. So the two things converge, and converge to something that has zero, has that is a fixed point for the harmonic function, because you cannot, it's a fixed point for the dynamics, because you cannot go improve your energy. So the limit starting from the maximum converges to a harmonic function. Okay, and then if you start from the minimum, you also converge to the harmonic function for the same argument. So anything that is in the middle will be pressed between, it will be sandwiched between these two things. So the limit of the original f that has no condition will also converge to the harmonic function. Okay, the argument is written here, but this is the idea is this one. Okay, I forgot the water. Okay, so I have this corollary that says that f is harmonic with boundary condition g if it is a minimizer of the energy of the energy in that set with this boundary condition. Okay, now, in fact, what I gave to you is a way to construct a harmonic function. Here I gave you an arbitrary sequence of sites, but you can do something more ordered. You can choose at random one of the sites, so you have a Markov chain, but this Markov chain, in fact, has only one invariant measure, that is a fixed point, in fact, converges to one state that is the harmonic function. Another way to construct a harmonic function in finite graphs is just to put all the equations that are linear equations. It's finally an eigen vector, it's a right eigen vector with that boundary conditions, and solved it. Okay, but here is what I say here. So the other thing is this the harness process that consists of order this the sites yn where I am doing the updating according to a Poisson process. So the generator of this process will be the following: you sum over the sites of B finite generators that are simply the difference between mx of eta and eta. So this is just telling you the following, that at the run, when the clock, the Poisson clock rings, you update to the position of your, to the average position of your neighbors. Okay? Well, now, let me try to motivate you about the problem in infinite volume. So, in infinite volume, so V will be a Poisson process in R. Okay, so you have something like that. Here the graph is trivial because you are only neighbor of your of the two points that are neighbors. And then you would, of course, as the harmonic function in R, you know that they are finite, that they're bounded harmonic functions that are constants in R. But then there are also linear harmonic functions. Okay? But in fact, we will be interested in constructing a harmonic function with a given slope. Okay, so I would like to construct a harmonic function slope 1. That means that lim, when s goes to infinity, s is in V of h of s divided by s is equal to 1. Okay? Or inclinations. This is plus or minus infinity. Okay? Okay, can you guess which is the harmonic function that satisfies that? It's easier than what looks. This is the origin. Now, let me put a point at the origin. It facilitates things. So, there are many, no? Because any harmonic function you can translate will continue harmonic, because the harmonicity is something that has to do with the neighbor. So, this. Okay, so if I put zero here, what I should put here? 1, right? Here I put 2. Okay. This is harmonic because each point so the neighbors of this is S1. So the height at this one is the average between this height at zero and at S2. Okay. So this is really, really an easy exercise. But now I would like to do the following. How can I, could I obtain this harmonic function without knowing the exact solution, like here, because I can get this one-dimensional thing and just perturbate it a little bit, put another line, and add a couple of edges, and then we are in a mess, in a total mess. No, suppose that I put another line here and put another Poisson process, and then put some random connections. Then it's not like that anymore. It's a mess. Okay, so any perturbation of Poisson process, homogeneous Poisson process in dimension one is already a problem. Okay, now how to do it in general? Well, you have two possibilities. One is a physical, more physical way, that this is the thermodynamic limit. What do I mean with that? You fix, say, fix a box, minus n. Minus nn, okay, fix a box minus nn and put here boundary condition. Take the point, this point here, and put this is S minus 3, and then here you put S minus 3 as boundary condition. So this will be the G outside, will be the height of the closest point to the box, to the left of the box, that will satisfy and here I will put S2, okay? So boundary condition, this boundary condition. Okay, so what I am doing is the following. Just take the line. Where is this? Take the line. So it's two. Take the line with the inclination I want, and look at which point the height, and I put this height at the points that are closest in the boundary. And then I can construct the harmonic function with these boundary conditions. And then the harmonic function with these boundary conditions will be also each point, so the distance between the height, so the derivative, say, the distance between the heights of neighboring sites will be constant, but will not be 1. Will be 1 plus something random depending on n. Then you can guess what is this something random, and in fact this is the number of points to the right minus the number of points to the left. The number of points, not the position. Plus some little error. So the variance, so the difference between two Poisson random variables of mean n. So the variance will be n. So so when you divide n by n or by s here, by n, then this will be 1 over square root of n. So you the distance, when you take box n, the distance between two, well, here is the distance here will be 1 plus square 1 over square root of n times a normal 0, 1, more or less. That is the difference between two Poisson processes. Okay? Okay, so, you are a Poisson process in the line. But the harmonic function, we saw it here, that the infinite harmonic function is just the distance between the derivative, say, the difference between one point and the neighbor is 1, exactly. But if you do the thermodynamic limit, you will get a perturbation. Because this will depend on the number of points that you have to the right and to the left of the origin, okay? And if you do the computations, I will not do it here, right? If you do the computation, you see that the correction is 1 over square root of n, and then when n goes to infinity, this is normal 0, 1. It's just because of the difference between two Poisson processes of the same mean. That is mean n. Okay, but this in this case you can do it, but then in general it's difficult, and I don't know how to do it in dimension 2, for instance. Then I will explain better the condition. And the other thing is just to harness process. In infinite volume. Okay, so what was the Carnot process? The Carnot process was just a Poisson clock rings for you at x, and then you take the average of your neighbors. Okay, and then continue. But starting from what? Okay, so what you do is just you put this line here, and then at each side you give the plane. So the line initial condition. So you, at each side you give it the height of the initial condition is exactly the height of the distance to the origin. Okay, with line boundary condition, initial condition. Okay. Okay, so let me explain what I mean here. So you have a point at the origin. This is S1, S2, S3, etc. Okay, so you put your line where I do that. This is the line. Okay, if you believe it. Okay, so the initial condition so will be. I will call P of X equal to X, or P of S equal to S. Okay, but here is a problem. It's already a problem in dimension 1. So maybe if you want to try it, and not right now, but to show that in dimension 1 you converge to the constant difference of the harmonic, because at this point it's not constant, no, because the difference between this and this is different from this difference. And then if the clock rings here, you will come here, okay? That is the middle point of this interval. When you ring the clock, it will come here. When you ring the clock for this one, you will go to the mean, to the middle point of these two places. So you come here. And then you keep doing that for all things. Yeah.
So in addition, you have this infinite number of clocks.
Infinite. Infinite number of clocks. Yes. Yes.
The Markov construction is
No, the Markov construction is not the problem, no, it's a fancy thing, if you want. But it's not that fancy. The Markov construction is the following. Thank you for telling me. So this is your initial condition, and then you have your points here, fixed points at this point, so it's a quenched thing. And then I will put here is time. For each of these points, you have a time Poisson process. Of rate 1. Okay? And now if you want to know at time t, if you want to know what is the configuration, so I want to construct here will be eta 0 of s equal to s, and here I want to construct eta t of s. It's eta t of s, and also it's a function of this Poisson process that I will call omega, but I will not write down. Okay, so there is an omega that are the time Poisson processes. And then what you have to do is the following. You go back in time until the first Poisson process, and then you know that the position here is the average of the height. Here will be the average of the height of these two sides. And then so let me put like that. And then the height here will be the average of these two sides here, and this point will get this height, okay? And this point will again get the average between this and this. So let me use another color. So you construct the random tree if you want back in time. So this is. And this is I did too many points, but okay. So this is, you can think that this is like a random walk in a random space-time environment. So you fix the places where you can jump, but I don't tell you where you jump. So when you are here, you can jump here or here with probability half. When you are here, you can jump here or here with probability half, etc. Okay? So eventually you will have a random walk that will be xt0, say, because it's going back in time. But this t0 depends on omega. And then you have the expected value of pi, that is of eta 0 if you want. But this expected value is respect to the W, and then you have also an initial point X. Okay, so you have a random walk in this random environment W or omega starting from point X will arrive to some points at the origin, and then I take the average of the function initial at the origin, that is eta 0 of this random walk. And this position, this is eta T, And then it's easy to see that this satisfies the generator, has the correct generator. Okay. How is my time? Finish?
1 or 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, what I am going to discuss tomorrow is how to do it in... Well, first of all, I would like to know if you can do it even in one dimension. Our result follows for one dimension, but that does not use the fact that you know exactly the measure. So that would be nice to see a computation that tells you that this construction goes to the gives you the harmonic function. One thing that I must tell you is that, in fact, if you let this thing to evolve, it will not get closer to the origin. The point at the origin will not stay here; will move. Because everything will start moving here, and the point of the origin probably will move order square root of t to be proven. Okay, so what you have to look at to find the invariant measure, the harmonic function, is the relative position of the other points to the position of the height at the origin. Okay, this is what we are going to do tomorrow in a more general setup. And in particular, prove for any dimension that you can do that. So what we are going to do is that we will do that, and this is open. Okay, thank you.
Forget where it came from. Is it like having a random jump process on the line?
Yeah.
A random probability measure, because you don't have to necessarily visit neighbors, and depending upon how much time you waited, that graph, however you want to call it, or the tree that gives the probabilities on the time zero line,
mm-hmm.
could actually be quite complicated, right?
Yeah.
So okay.
But this is only to show that it exists, and maybe you can show something else. But yeah. Yeah, but I'm not sure I understood your question.
Well, maybe I didn't formulate it correctly.
No, because the Poisson process you can represent as a counting process, no?
Right, so on the time zero slice, you have your original locations from your original Poisson points, right, that you're trying to construct your Hausdorff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you have a graph. But now, if I go on the backwards process, I'm no longer jumping necessarily to my neighbors.
No.
So I have a non-local process in a sense. I don't do necessarily nearest neighbor jumps.
Yeah.
I can jump anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. So you are worried that maybe this goes to infinity?
Well, no, I'm not worried, actually. I like that very much.
But this could go to infinity. No, yeah, you will get, in this case, it's easy to see that you can go very fast, very far, no? I mean, this is bounded by a Poisson process like that, or thing.
No, infinite,
yes, yeah. In a finite time, you can only do a finite number of jumps. Yeah. Okay, thank you for the comment. Yep.
So you have mentioned that the convergence is relative to the value at the origin.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I include the origin, does it converge to the back measure?
If you fix the origin, in the origin doesn't need to be harmonic. When you fix in the boundary, it doesn't need to be harmonic.
No, I mean the measure is okay. If you look at the time evolution of the Markov chain.
Yes. If you want to fix boundary condition.
You have a steady state with respect to the origin.
Yeah. If you include the origin? No, I don't see the point.
In this random evolution process, the value at zero is
changed. Yeah, the same thing, yeah. Of course, yes.
So it
of course.
Be something like that.
Yeah, but I have a lot of difficulty to see the where the surface is when the measure is the Lebesgue measure, because it goes very far. I want to. Yeah, you can do it if you want, but yeah. No, this is just to simplify the exposition. But no, you can put any
function of the length of the edge.
Yeah, anything you can put, a positive thing, yeah, positive, non negative thing, yeah.
Okay, so let us thank once again Hugo and all the speakers of this morning.
Thank you.